today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I want to piggyback on that because the Lord is speaking to me about a man of devotion. That when a man is one, let me just share this with you. We're not supposed to direct our families without God's presence. Our education, Solomon said, a woman's heart is like deep waters, who would know it? So you're not supposed to direct your family based on what you know. It has to be an initiative that comes from God. Actually, if you devote more to God, you won't have to fight as much in your house. If you yield to God, He'll give you something to say.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, A Man of Vision. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 9.
And the word of the Lord reads like this. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and is in his upper room with his window open towards Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before the Lord, before his God, as was his what? Custom. Not something he did just on Sunday. It was his custom. He was comfortable doing it. It was a practice. It wasn't something that he did just by happenstance. It was his custom. I want to share with you the second part of a message that I'm teaching, The King's Men. That's the series. Our late message here in the late service, it's not a late message, but our on time message in the late service is A Man of Devotion. I taught about a man of vision this morning. I will get that teaching, very important. But also today we want to teach a man of devotion. On this Father's Day, God is calling us back to custom, a custom of devotion. At the men's conference this year, the Lord spoke to me and said, there's not enough moisture in the atmosphere, that our men aren't engaging the throne like we should. And I need to lead out. And so I've been systematically calling groups to the altar so we can pray. Eventually, we're going to have a circle around our church on a Sunday morning. I mean, every space will be filled as we pray, male and female. We're going to pray for children. We're going to pray for community. We're going to pray for the government. We're going to pray for the president and God's giving him wise counsel and that he will follow it. And we're going to pray that something would happen up in there to bring regularity and peace. I don't know what in the world is going on, but you got ultimate fighting going on in the yard of the White House, and you got a man talking about Michelle Obama is just I'm and nobody say nothing, and the degradation of women that's done from the white yard, and no prophet wants to speak to it. Everybody wants to give praise because stock market is going up. But when you desecrate women openly like that and leaders don't call it down, something in us dies. And let me say something to you. When the woman is disgraced in a community publicly like that, it means the society has twisted and gone down. That's what it means. I don't care what you look at the stock market all day. A person that goes to Yale or Harvard that has a law degree, that you have no scandal on her at all when she's stripped like that and nobody feels nothing because you have been numbed. The leadership says whatever. No prophet speaks to it. No man of God that has access into the White House is saying this is wrong. And we just sit back, and even when I talk, they say, Bishop, you shouldn't say that. Who said what? Right. I'm not a politician. I'm a pastor. My call is to the scriptures first. And if you're going to call me down, you got to say what's wrong in the society. Out of the man comes the woman. Out of the woman comes the family. Out of the family comes the society.
Amen.
I'm speaking to the man. Because out of the man comes the woman. Out of the woman comes the family. And out of the woman, out of the family comes our society. And when women don't know their place or they're desecrated, something has gone wrong. It means we dialed down. And we got to recover this lest we lose it all. If Michelle Obama is a monkey or ape, and it doesn't make no woman in here move her head, it means something went down. Down, 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 down. Means nobody in here should be sitting around playing games when it's done publicly. Amen. I have people tell Bishop, you shouldn't say that. You sound this and that. Well, you better turn your prayer toward Washington. I'm just an old pastor. Let me desecrate women like that in here. Well, how many people come into church again? Oh, my God. You hold me to a higher standard. But anyway, I'm preaching the word. The King's Men is the series. The man, the message is the man of devotion, a man of devotion. Father, I give you praise for the word, and I pray that as we dial up and raise the kind of power and give light to devotion, I pray that there would be a surge, Lord, in the bowing of a knee, and the practice and the spirit of Daniel would hit the house of the Lord and would touch men to where we would pray, whether it's sitting in our cars on our way to work, bowing the knee by the bed, finding a place, a rhythm, and a flow, a designated time or a designated place to pray on this Father's Day. I thank you for men praying over their families and walking through the house at night and putting oil on the doorposts and covering the house with blood and getting back to you and you speaking to men's hearts, Lord, as you have always done. And thank you for the custom of prayer, the practice of prayer, not just the theology. And Father, I thank you that as we bend and bow and humble ourselves to you, our families would surge. I give you praise, glory, and honor for it now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill to all men. It is a joy to bring the message of the kingdom to you on a weekly basis. I pray that somehow, some way, that you all would be able to climb the ladder and go higher in God. Here in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I laid the track or set the text for this message. And we see Daniel, after he knew that a writing or decree was signed by the king, he did something. He went home and he began to pray. What you got to understand is that the writing was given out by the king, and that is King of Babylon. That is, no one should pray in their homes unless they directed the prayer toward the golden image. You have to pray for the gold, pray to the golden image that was a replica of the king. Some scoundrels who didn't like Daniel, they knew he prayed. So they went to the king and said, you know, you need to sign a decree abolishing prayer in your kingdom, and that they should pray to the golden image. And the king signed it, of course. And the king of Persia, the king of Babylon, anything signed cannot be annulled or disannulled. And so when he signed the document, Daniel was working in his cabinet. And he did opposite of what the decree said. He went back home, the scripture says, and he got on his knees. And he went up to his upper room, opened the window so you can hear and pray. He didn't shut off and become afraid. And he didn't have this mentality that I don't want anyone, you know, don't want to offend anyone. And I certainly want to do it in quiet. He opened the windows, the scripture says. And he twisted and turned toward Jerusalem. He wasn't home, but he turned toward the place. He remembered the scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He even talked to some of his leaders that if you ever lost your way, turn your heart toward Jerusalem and pray. In obedience to God, he turned his heart toward God's city, the city of David. The Bible says he fell down on his knees 3 times a day. He did it in the morning, he did it at noon, and he did it in the evening. He did not change his custom. It was his custom to do. And anyone doing that was worthy of death. He knew his life was on the line, but he did not allow it to violate his commitment to God, his covenant to God, his devotion to his God. Now, I want to talk to a group of men today, and families, of course, that have compromised your devotion to God and allowed other things to block it. Are you in an association that if you said the name of Jesus, people would frown, so you don't say it? If you prayed before you coached, would the men say, get over that? On your job, if you would ever pray in your cubicle or in your office, people would frown on you. I'm not going to talking about walking through the hallway, speaking in tongues and acting foolish. I'm talking about just letting people know that you have a conviction in a mile way. What have we sold out our devotion for? This man's life was on the line and he did not sell out his devotion. But what have we sold it out for? When we talk to our close friends, do we ever mention that we're Christian? Do you ever mention that we follow Jesus? Do they know what church you go to or that you go to church at all? Do you ever talk about the scripture or something that you learned from church? Is your camaraderie greater and bigger than just, hey, boy, what's up? How did you like the Knicks game? Which, believe me, the New York is on fire. Amen. New York is on fire. New York! Come on, I feel brand new. I want to preach in New York. I want a church in New York. Anybody want to help the bishop? Me, Pastor Serena, and the team, we're going to New York. New York! I believe I can get a borough saved. Queens, the Bronx. I believe Brooklyn would let me come in. Manhattan, right there in Harlem. My God! Glory to God. And I just believe God is going to open up some doors so we can fly in and out of New York. But I wanted to just say to you that Daniel opened up his window in a city like New York when a decree from the king said, if you pray, I'm going to kill you or throw you in the lion's den. And he opened up his windows and did it anyway. He let nothing stop him from having his own personal devotion. And I'm just posing a question. What has hindered you? You ran well. What has distracted you where you don't pray anymore like you should, or you're just always in secret when you pray? Sometimes we need to do it in the open, especially at home. Daniel went home. I had a young man that came to the church and he said, the Lord is speaking to me that I need to pray on the job. I said, well, be discreet. So he went in the lobby of the bank. Rasha, ro, bebe, bebe, bro, 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 bro. They thought a gun was being fired. The ladies was ducking. Guess what they did? He came to me, Bishop, can you bail me out? No! No. What did I tell you, man? I said, don't do that. But the Lord led me. Well, the Lord led you to jail. Be like Paul and Silas and get in there midnight. I want you to pray until things shift. Since the Lord spoke to you, if the Lord spoke to you, he wouldn't have sent me. Right. And he wouldn't have you bound when he told you. Right. So he sat there overnight. They got him out. Of course, he stopped coming to Truth Revealed because I hurt him. I hurt him. Oh, the church hurt. It's not church hurt, it's people hurt. And actually, if you have an expectation at this high and you have to come in at this level, the distance is disappointment. That didn't mean you were hurt, you're just disappointed. Amen. I told you not to do it. You did it anyway. Okay. So you got to suffer. Say consequences. Right. Suffer the consequences. I want to piggyback on that because the Lord is speaking to me about a man of devotion. That when a man, let me just share this with you. We're not supposed to direct our families without God's presence. Our education, Solomon said, a woman's heart is like deep waters, who would know it? So you're not supposed to direct your family based on what you know. It has to be an initiative that comes from God. Actually, if you devote more to God, you won't have to fight as much in your house. If you yield to God, he'll give you something to say. Like wake you up at 3 a.m. Ugh. That's what happens. That's what he does. He gives you the edge. Touch your neighbor and say, we need an edge. Yeah. Right. Not an edge around your beard and around your hair. You need the advantage. You need the advantage. And stop giving the devil the advantage. So fathers, your influence reaches further than you think. Daniel had a custom and he didn't back off of his custom of prayer, even though he was far away from home. He was led captive into Babylon, 1,000 miles away from home, and still had devotion to the God of his salvation. And your influence, it reaches further than you think, further than you may realize, further than you can comprehend. Many of us don't know the impact that we have that's beyond us, positively and negatively. I was asked last night, I was preaching or teaching at an interfaith conference or meeting last night, and I was talking about forgiveness, and I was asked, what is the cost or the price of forgiveness? I said, the price of forgiveness is death. The price of forgiveness is death. This is an interfaith organization. So they brought me in. I talked about what I believe. I believe that the price of forgiveness is death. Jesus shed his blood so we can be free. So we can be forgiven. Because of that, we can forgive others. Can I get a little help? But except the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So the death of the seed is forgiveness for the barren land. If the barren land is a curse, the death of the seed in the ground is forgiveness for the barrenness. And unless some of us allow something in us to die so a new shoot can come out. If God is able to push something new out of us, then the famine that's in the land will be forgiven. The famine in your family. The barrenness in your household. The barrenness in your language. The lack of producing fruit will all be forgiven because new vegetation is growing out of you. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither. And whatever it does, whatever he does, whatever she does, you'll see prosperity follow it. Oh my God, hallelujah. You have influence that reaches far beyond your human recollection. And your prayers shape generations. Your prayers shape generations. So your lack of prayer
will keep the generation from being molded. Your lack of moisture above your head limits the moisture of your children. The inability to call on the name of the Lord limits the showers over their lives. Because your prayers shape generations. It shapes sonship. It shapes humility. It shapes generosity. It shapes fatherhood. It causes anger to be quelled. It shapes work ethic. It shapes ministry functions to where we're not grinding with each other. There's a grace for our movements. And when we have to turn, we don't hurt each other when we turn. Actually, we enhance each other. Glory to God. If you ever hear pistons in your car making a loud noise, please shut off the engine. It's supposed to be a smooth sailing, a smooth running engine. If it's quaking and shaking and going on and making a lot of noise, knocking, it means something is wrong. Touch the neighbor and say, you need oil in your engine. You need oil in your engine. It's not supposed to function without oil, and neither should your family be functioning without the oil of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that gives light and luminosity to your path. Can somebody shout a? Well, let's change it. Shout glory.
Glory,
glory to God. Hallelujah. You need oil in your vessels. And the first command for the oil is not for your anointing, it's for light. God told Moses, put oil in the lampstand for the light of the inner court. Glory to God. That means there's no other light in the tabernacle, and the only light that should cast luminosity in the tabernacle should come from the lampstand. And if you got light that's coming from social media, or light that's coming from Zodiac, or light that's coming from anything you did in college, or light that comes from your groups, and it doesn't come from the Holy Ghost, don't trust that light.
Amen.
That light will not expose the demonic spirits that's in the corner. That light won't go in the chambers of your heart to show you where your heart is. That light, that kind of light will never allow you to do introspection on yourself. But when you got God's counsel, when you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, he goes into every chamber, even the ones that you don't want anyone to know, and he'll come right in there and show you the creatures and the stuff that's crawling in there, and they have to run when they see his light.
Y'all ask me to preach, I'll teach today. Ask me, come on. Ask me.
Would you preach, Bishop? Say it.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it. I'm going to bring it. I feel the Holy Ghost in here, I'm telling you right now. See, sometimes we look for God to slay us, but he's slaying you right here. He's bringing us back to our knees. I'm looking at my son, my daughter, and I'm looking at their children. And I'm saying, listen, I don't want them to have a life where there's no moisture over their heads. And so I have to pick up the tambour and pray. Thank you, Lord. And I'm watching Omar play or pray over his children. And I'm trying to get Megan to pray over that boy. He's rambunctious right now. You got to pray over him. You got to do like mama. She be praying and speaking in tongues, man. I call home one time and Megan said, I said, what is mama doing? She said, she's making sound. I said, what kind of? She said, blah, 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 blah. I said, she's speaking in tongues, huh? I said, she. Tell me what she said, interpret it. She said, huh? Now Megan need to pray over. She understand now though. She understand. That's right. You better develop that prayer language. So you need somebody praying over you. Megan is running in the showers that she didn't pray for, her mama prayed for. You understand that? And you got to create a shower for your children. Today we celebrate not only fathers, but who God has called them to be. We're not just praying for fathers, but what did God call you to be, Father? He's called you to be king's men. The king's man, the king's man, the king's man. I believe men who pursue God. A king's man is a man who pursues God's vision for his life. A man who also walks in his purpose. A man that remains devoted to God, even so far away from home. A man that remains devoted to God's presence can tell when the Spirit departs. Some of us can't tell if the Spirit lifts because we're so used to not having the presence. But God wants us to be so sensitive when the coat of His presence lifts off of us, we don't feel good.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, A Man of Vision, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
VBS 2026, The Joshua Generation, will take place on Monday, July 20th to Friday, July 24th for children ages 2 through 6th grade. Don't miss this exciting week of faith, fun, and learning. Register and purchase your t-shirt on the website, the TR mobile app, or scan the QR code in the foyer. Get ready to celebrate Bishop's birthday on July 10th. Show Bishop some love online at truthreveal.org, the Truth Reveal app, or Cash App at Truth Reveal 2. Make check payable to Truth Reveal with Bishop's birthday on the memo line. Registration is open for the Believer's Enrichment Spiritual Training Best Class. Sign up today using the TR app, website, or email best@truthreveal.org for more information.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.